Hello, everyone, and welcome to Audio Gossip with Lady J. I am here tonight with episode 14, but we're going to do things just a little bit different. Rather than bring you just the news about a band, I have two members of two very different bands, and tonight we're actually going to be talking to you about food. I have with me tonight Jason Kozora of Silence Follows and his new project, The Crucible Project, and Justin Sanford of Neverwake. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey!
Now, this is going to be a fun one, because we're not just talking about bands and such. We're actually talking about all the good eats out there where you guys play, and maybe we'll even hit on a few places that people could go to, say, after a show. And I think you guys might have a little bit of something ready for the fans when we're all said and done here.
Maybe.
We'll see. We'll see.
We're going to play a game with you guys this time. And rather than just a straightforward interview, since we're having some fun tonight, these guys are very well known for their amazing food. They're kind of our metal chefs of the scene.
Have we reached that point now? We're well known?
I think you are.
Because I'm super proud of that. I'm not going to lie. How about you, Justin?
See, you're too much. You're too much.
Yeah, that's just too kind. We're honored.
And so these guys are going to have a recipe waiting for you on their pages, and they're going to give you a little hint of what's in store. But once the podcast comes out, you can go check it out and see what the actual recipe is, because believe me, whatever these guys make is fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
No pressure there whatsoever.
Absolutely none.
These guys are fantastic. They got a great recipe for you.
They're literally going to blow your minds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we really got to deliver now.
We got this.
First, a little bit about your bands. You both have some shows coming up, and so we're going to talk about some of the stuff that audience members showing up should maybe check out.
Yeah. Jason, would you like to go first, sir?
Oh, what a gentleman. A gentleman and a chef. I'm impressed. Well, yeah, I was probably overshooting it there a little bit with the gentleman thing. Anyway.
And the chef thing.
All right, yeah, so Silence Follows. I guess we'll dive into the meat of it there. We have a show coming up here August 18th. That's a Saturday at the Funhouse at Mr. Small's. Doors are at 7 o'clock. Show starts at 8. It's going to be a band called Dive kicking us off. We'll be up next. And then Horace Mays is going to headline that evening. So it's going to be a great night of rock. Come out, party with us. It's going to be a good time. It's like 10 bucks, 12 at the door. If you want more info on that, come visit Silence Follows page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/silencefollows, and you can get all the deets there because we have the event posted up on our Facebook page. Dan, fun fact. So maybe some people don't know this, but I, along with some cavalier folk in our music scene, are involved in a little thing that you may have seen floating around your Facebooks here in the last week called The Crucible Project. The Crucible Project is something that we have been working on now for actually probably the better part of about 2 years. And almost. I think it'll actually be officially 2 years in December, but a little bit before that. Actually, one of the first shows that we had involvement with, or that I specifically did, was one of Neverwake shows at the Funhouse, I think, after Periphery, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Yeah, it was like the after party.
Yep. That's kind of where all this craziness started. We've been doing shows there and working with the Funhouse now for a while. Jesse Prentice with the Funhouse has been instrumental in helping us to bring you guys some fun shows and do some cool things there. And it kind of started off as a, hey, you're a metal guy and I know you and we have a show and we kind of want to do something fun between the sets downstairs while the big guys play. Maybe we can do something up here. And I was like, all right, let's talk. You know, kind of we started off with our first kickoff under our former name, the Homegrown Hard Rock Showcase. And that was in December of 2016. And it just kind of grew from there. We started a monthly concert series. I think we had 5 bands on that bill. It was a great night, great turnout. When we did that event, that was really the Kickstarter for this whole thing. We continued working at it and we were like, hey, I think this could be a thing. You know, like it seems like it's really building a sense of community in amongst the Pittsburgh rock and metal scenes and not just one scene versus the other. It was really like a hodgepodge of everybody. So we were like, hell, let's run with it.
You know, that's a good idea. I mean, personally, I don't think it should ever be, you know, different parts of the scenes, maybe not to say against each other, but not working together. I mean, it's not going to be productive for anybody if it's that way. I mean, you know, you might not have shows where all those different bands are mixed together, but if there's a way for everybody to work together, it's going to be a huge benefit for everybody.
I fully agree. And that's kind of what we picked up on is that, you know, there are a lot of people that, you know, you might be surprised by that like music from all those genres and genres you didn't know. And, you know, our core demographic is generally more on the rock metal side. But we've had people come in that, like, you know, just came in not knowing what it was going to be and, you know, loved it. And we're hoping to build off of that and keep driving it to help make it something even bigger than what it's been so far. And we can't thank everybody enough that has come out. Whether it's to one of my shows with Silence Follows or if it's been any of our shows for the Homegrown Hard Rock or now the Crucible Project, we can't do it without you guys coming out and supporting. And it's just been an honor to be a part of it and be involved in it. Thank you to all of you and all the bands that have played. And it's been a great experience so far.
Well, you know, I think it's easy for people to want to get involved and support what you guys are doing because everybody behind what's going on over there is everybody's a stand-up crew. Everybody's good people. So it's easy to get behind that.
With the Crucible Project, that's has kind of been our goal all along. You know, we as musicians have probably been exposed to some of the things that, you know, maybe have been on the not as great side in the music community. And it happens and it, you know, it is what it is. But our goal was hopefully to have a positive influence and to start thinking outside of maybe the normal thought processes involved with the music scene and you know, shows and stuff in Pittsburgh. And to really try as best as we can to put the artists first. Like our shows always have, you know, we try as best as we can to treat the artists, whether they're the big guys or, you know, the guys that are, you know, playing around the city area or even the tri-state area here. We want everybody to feel like what they do as an artist is valued, and whether it's we can do something great for them or we can do even just something little for them, we try to give that back to let everybody know that, hey, we appreciate the fact that you take time out of your life to create music and to create art that might help somebody or that, you know, will bring somebody some kind of joy. Like if we can be a vehicle to help you be successful and we can be successful at the same time, that's what it should really be about. It shouldn't be about, you know, trying to cash in as much as you can or things like that. At least that's our take on it.
And one thing that I really like about the Funhouse is that there's kind of an accidental exposure to music where, say, I was recently at the Funhouse for a very hardcore metal show, extremely, and there was a rap or something along those lines show going on at the adjoining stage at Mr. Small's Theater. And by the end of the night, all of these people from that show began kind of like coming in and checking out what was going on. So you had all of these people who you never would have expected to have seen at a metal show headbanging right along with everyone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that venue specifically is just a great vehicle to give people that opportunity where, you know, there's a show like that going on, and then some might look at it as two completely different worlds, but it gives you an area where you can bring that together, and you might be surprised. And that's like one of our statements on the Facebook page for the Crucible Project was to be the melting pot of rock and metal in Pittsburgh. And that really is kind of our overall theme. We want to create a music community, you know, maybe in those general styles that is one. It's not just the most extreme. It's not the lightest stuff you could ever hear. It's everybody, and it gives everybody a chance to come together and enjoy something either that they already know and love, or maybe something that they don't already know and love, and gives them a new experience.
I've seen a lot of really good shows there, and one of them was actually the Sleepwalker Ball for Neverwake.
That was a fun night, for
that
sure.
Was a very fun night.
That was a fun night. I got to play a demon. I was the faceless guy. That was fun.
Yes, sir. That was awesome. For you guys who don't know what he's talking about, Sleepwalker Ball is an annual charity event that we've started doing to benefit Children's Hospital, and it's around Halloween every year, and we had just recently released our most recent video for Suffocate off of the Incinerate EP that we did with John Moyer, and the video came out, and we had a bunch of each of us, all four members of the band, we had our own villain or monster in the video, and we thought it would be cool, since it was kind of a Halloween themed event, to bring those you know, characters from the video to life at the show and have them kind of just, you know, roaming around the show and bumping into people and stuff. And it was really cool.
It really was. And anyone who wants to check out the demons, these guys do have their videos up.
Oh yeah, of course. The video, Suffocate, it's on YouTube, of course. That would be the best place to find it. Just go to YouTube and search Neverwake Suffocate. And it's on there. Check it out. If you dig it, share it with your friends. It's really cool. It was the first video that we actually we completely did on our own. We had some camera help from our old buddy Dan GTX, but everything else, like we built all the props. We did everything. I mean, we did all the shooting and stuff. Johnny, our singer, he did all the editing and the post production stuff and directed the video. I mean. So it was really cool. We're proud of how it came out.
It did come out very, very well.
I'll second that. That video looks phenomenal. It's well put together. So kudos to you guys. It's a great thing, and you guys should all check that out for sure.
Thank you very much. We're kind of in the middle of the next one now. We started. It's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be completely all self-produced this time. I think we're going to get a little outside help on this one with some of it, but. We recently shot all the performance parts for the upcoming video for the first single off of our new EP that we just finished recording. So stay tuned for those details. It's going to be exciting.
You guys all do some very exciting stuff, but let's get to talking about the food for a minute.
Yeah, isn't that what we're here for?
Oh, yeah. Game? Now we're on the money.
Get onto the grub.
Now, you guys would not know this unless you follow these guys on Facebook, but what you'll normally find are photos of the amazing things that they put up there. So, I figured that if these guys are such chefs at home, they could probably give you an insight into one of the little-known facts in Pittsburgh, which is whenever you go to a venue, you have a 90% chance of getting some amazing food, and do not be put off. This is not bar food. This is good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Generally try to not dabble in anything not good stuff.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to, like, try to eat bad food.
Right.
But generally frowned upon.
Sometimes you have a little bit less of a choice. You gotta, you know, like if you're out on the road traveling, doing touring type of stuff, you gotta, that can get sucky. You gotta do what you gotta do out there, but.
Now, you're going to have to experience that kind of soon, aren't you, with Nashville coming up?
Yeah, yeah. Neverwake is going to Nashville for the first time. That is 2 weeks from this Saturday. So Saturday the 25th, we are playing in Nashville for the Rockin' Pod Expo. I guess this is the second year for the event, and it's pretty cool. It's a bunch of people, podcasters that decided to put their own convention together. It's a convention all for podcast stuff. And they have a bunch of musicians and comedians there hanging out and meeting people and talking and doing interviews, and we're playing the after party. So really, really looking forward to that. Really pumped to play in Nashville for the first time. I have some friends down there, so hopefully they'll be able to make it out. And being, you know, this is all about food, I'm hoping to get down there and see if Nashville's got some good stuff to cram in my mouth.
Barbecue, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Yes, you're going to have to try that.
Yes, ma'am.
So one thing that I am personally known for is skipping food and eating whenever I'm getting ready for a show. So let's kind of dabble back into the funhouse at Mr. Small's.
Sure.
They have a nice little menu there. And me personally, I would have to say that people would have to try the nachos.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Nacho Mountain.
It is a mountain of nachos.
It really is. Like, and I don't know, everything that I've ever had from there was super good. And you just get a giant mountain of nachos with, you can get them with like chicken. I'm actually looking at the menu right now, which they were nice enough to send over to me earlier today. It is good stuff. You can get chicken, beef, and they even have like, I guess they even have like vegan options now for like meats and stuff like that. Those are super good. Those and the chicken quesadillas, those are definitely a pre-show jam for me. Whether I'm playing or not, definitely something that we enjoy.
You know what's weird is all the times we've played at the Funhouse, which I don't even know if I can count that high anymore. We've played there so many times. Honestly, don't think I've only eaten there, the food that they have there once or twice, tops. And what I can remember for sure that I had was it was a panini. It was like pesto chicken. I think it had pesto and tomatoes and mozzarella cheese on it.
Yep.
That thing was pretty banging. It was really good. I was impressed because like I didn't even realize they were doing food up there like that at that point. I grabbed that for dinner and it was really good.
Yeah, they have paninis, wraps, burgers. Like, their burgers, from my understanding of it, and I had talked with one of the chefs up there one day. They like all their burgers. They're not bought in frozen stuff. It's like all hand weighed, hand pressed, fresh beef. It's nice. Good stuff. Their burgers nice. Are dope. If you ever walk upstairs from one of the shows, either down at actual Mr. Small's or from the Funhouse, you'll smell it. You'll smell them a mile away. They just smell so delicious.
Nice.
Now, see, I'm normally all, make-uped up and everything, and their serving sizes are nothing to laugh about. So I can't deal with the whole huge burger. But one thing that I've been getting recently, because goodness knows I hit enough shows at the Funhouse, and I've been getting their hummus yep. Trio.
Yeah, well, I've never had the trio, but that panini that I got there, it came. You could either get like chips, I think, or a side of hummus and maybe carrots. And like I, when I eat, like, you know, remotely close to showtime, I always try to keep it like kind of light. You know, definitely stay away from like greasy and stuff because I don't want to have to get up on stage and then feel like I hate myself. So, yeah, I remember I got their hummus and it was really good.
Now that's one thing. Whenever you guys are getting ready for shows, I mean, you probably need something on your stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But definitely not anything heavy then.
No, yeah. And it kind of sucks because sometimes you go to a lot of places, they have stuff that sounds really cool, or like, you know, if you're there on a day or, you know, a night where you're not playing, you know, there's other, you know, a lot of other things you would try. But, I mean, at least for me personally, I've had a few less than desirable experiences, you know, earlier on in my show playing career where I've learned to stick with stuff that's not going to make me feel like crap when I'm playing.
Listen, Matt, mashed potato bacon mountain sounds like a great thing that you want to experience.
Sure,
except
right.
When you're about to jump around on stage for a half an hour. It's not that great of an experience. I promise you that.
Terrible.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine. Me, I normally just stick with the stuff that I'm not going to look like a fool eating, and that's not going to get all over my fingers, so I'm not wiping it all over my camera. Let's say Jergles.
Yes.
That's the other place that we want to hit on, because Neverwake will also be playing there a lot closer to home than Nashville.
Yeah, so we've played at Jergles a couple times now, and we're going to be there again coming up. It's actually 3 weeks from tonight. It's Wednesday, August 29th. We will be direct support for the Dead Daisies. So really, really looking forward to that, because, I mean, if you're not familiar with the names, like the Dead Daisies, you've got Doug Aldriss from Whitesnake and Dio and John Corabi, who sang in Motley Crue. A guy that did time in Thin Lizzy and Whitesnake. I mean, a guy that was in Journey and Bad English. I mean, that band is going to be rad. And then Dizzy Reed, who from Guns N' Roses. We've got Alex Grossi from Quiet Riot and Johnny Kelly from Typo Negative and Danzig. So that's going to be a really, really awesome night. Really looking forward to that. So we've eaten there a few times now, because we've played there a few times. And going back to, you know, I always got to try to be a little bit careful what I eat before I show. I think it was the first time we played there, I got their Southwest Ranch wrap, which was, it's super good. It's like a Southwest chicken. It's got, you know, cheddar jack cheese on it, and it's got this like black bean and corn salsa with a Southwest Ranch. It's fantastic. It's really, really good.
That sounds really awesome.
It's so good, yeah. The second time we played there, it's like almost the same thing. It's a Southwest, except the salad. It's a Southwest tortilla salad. It's like all that same stuff on a salad instead, and it was really good too. You know what? There's another time I was there. My wife and I were there for, we went to see Tom Kiefer from Cinderella, and I got their big battered fish sandwich. And if you like beer battered fish, a fish sandwich, you have to get that from Jergles, because it's fantastic. It's literally like a whole half of a fish. Like, it's huge, like battered and just thrown up on a bun. And it's got jalapeno tartar sauce on it. Oh, man, it's so good.
Jason, have you had the food there?
So I was fortunate enough randomly one night to get an invite from a friend at Atomic Cowboy Productions to come up and check out a band. I think it was one of John Moyer's bands. That was a good time. And I didn't eat that night, but they had wings. I think Johnny was there actually.
Yeah. Justin. And, yeah, that was Dark Sky Choir.
Dark Sky Choir. That's what it was. I was trying to remember the name of it.
That was the Fozzy tour.
Yep. Yeah. You're right. That was a great show, by the way.
I was at work.
But so I didn't eat that night because I had already eaten, because that's what I do. But they had Johnny and Dina from Atomic Cowboy had like buffalo wings that looked amazing and smelled amazing. So I'm definitely going to go back to get some of those, but, we also went to another show that, some friends from, the scene here, Altered Design, and actually, one of my old bands, they were playing up there one night. So we went up and we got the tacos. I think we got shrimp tacos and, the pulled pork tacos, and both of those were absolutely fantastic. So we're definitely planning on going back to get some more of the menu there for sure.
Yeah, it's good stuff for sure. That's what I mean, like their name, it's Jergles Rhythm Grill. You know, it's not just a venue. They have legit food.
Yeah, and since I like the boozes, I will add that their bar is fantastic. Their wait staff there was super friendly and nice.
Yes, every time I've been to Jergles, whether it was the couple times we played there or just having been there as a fan myself, everybody is super nice there. The bartenders, you know, the waitresses, everybody, they're super nice and accommodating.
Yeah, I've, just on a performance aspect, I've heard nothing but great things about that. They have, like, apparently there's people that help you load in and stuff, whether you're the big guy or you're the little guy. Like, they take care of everything. The sound system there is amazing. It's truly a top-notch venue for sure.
Yep. There's they have two great big green rooms, and generally, the two times we were there, they had the bigger artist was in, you know, the one green room, and then they had the two local acts, you know, share the other green room. That was really, really nice. Good stuff.
Let's see here. We've got a few things that people can eat before the shows.
Man, I mean, I could talk about a couple other places, you know, that we've played at recently too, and what's good there also. But you know, wherever you want to go here.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can get to that. There's one other thing, though, that possibly we should step into, and that would be the after-show eats, because if you have to have the light fare before the show, and then you're going to be there for a few hours, and you're going to be rocking out, headbanging, dancing around, you're going to work up an appetite.
You sure are.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong at all.
She's not. You know, unfortunately, I don't know exactly, I don't know how or why, but it seems like most times we get done so late by the time we pack up and load out, just like everybody's dead tired and we're all trying to get to bed, and none of us seem to go out for the post-show eats a lot. We have, but we should change that. We should get into that a little more.
I think that's a company policy that needs to be implemented.
There you go. I mean, I'll tell you one thing, and it's just for, like, you know, going to concerts in general. We always, you know, my wife Beth and I, we always liked going to Denny's when they had one out here in Robinson, because, like, they had killer nachos, which when I first discovered that, it took me, like, I was totally surprised. I was, like, really shocked for some reason that Denny's had nachos that good. That was always a good late night eat spot. We loved that. It's like really good diner food, if you're not familiar with Denny's, which I'm sure most people are.
I go to Denny's pretty often.
I'm usually there.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason and I meet up with friends after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I would definitely recommend if you have a sweet tooth would be the birthday cake shake. This is like mind blowing to me.
You know what? All of their breakfast stuff is really good, too.
Is it?
Yes. All of their breakfast. When Beth and I first moved down to Pittsburgh, our first apartment that we had here was literally, like, almost next door to the Denny's that was in Robinson. So there would even be, like, weekend mornings sometimes, like Saturday or Sunday mornings, we'd be like, hey, let's order some Denny's breakfast takeout so you don't have to, like, you know, really get dressed and go in there. I would just run, you know, over across the parking lot and get some breakfast takeout. Their breakfast is awesome.
I didn't even realize that they did takeout.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. Mm-hmm. Especially if you don't feel like going in and, you know, sitting down and having the whole shebang.
You know, you can wake up and be hungry and, you know, like, oh, crap, I don't want to get dressed or get cleaned up and I look terrible, but it's okay. I can just order it to go and go back home.
There you go. And no one will ever have to see you.
Right. That's right. You know, there was a couple other times we've gone out after shows. Like, we haven't done it much, so I can't talk about that a lot. But, like, you know, we're all out, you know, more this way, west of downtown of Pittsburgh. And actually, I'm the only one in PA. The other guys all live in either Ohio or West Virginia. And there's been a couple times we've hit Steak and Shake out here after a show because they're open late. And, you know, their burgers are really good for, you know, how cheap it is. You go in there and get, you know, a burger and a fry, you know, for like $4 or $5.
I like Steak and Shake.
Me too.
I've been there a few times. Not like a whole lot, but definitely good stuff whenever I've gone.
Right. And then there's one more I can give cred to. If you're ever, like, down in, like, the North Shore, so, like, if you're going to a show at, like, Stage AE, which, you know, I've been to tons of shows there, a cool place to end up after Stage AE, if you're hungry and want to hang out and have some drinks, is Bar Louie. That's, like, right there, right across the street from Stage AE. That place has some really good eats and good drinks. Actually, one of my favorite Bloody Marys at Bar Louie. Fantastic.
I'm going to have to try that because I've been going to Stage AE a good bit.
Yeah, it's good stuff down there. And it's cool. It's a cool place. It's a cool vibe, atmosphere. They got the one thing that I ate down there one time after a show, I believe it was after Steel Panther. We were down there and I had some people we were with, they ordered a couple of different flatbread pizza things. They were really, really good.
That whole strip too. Like all along there, you've got Bar Louie. Southern Tiers there, and they're actually their food. We stopped there after a couple of shows, and they have pretty much anything you could want. What's the other? Oh, so Bettis's Grill is another one. Surprisingly, it's been a while since I had it, but I feel like it's something that everybody has to try at least once in their lives. And I hope they still have it. They had a deep-fried hoagie, an Italian hoagie.
What?
No.
Yeah. And then they have on the alcohol side, they have another drink called, it's like the breakfast or something like that. It literally tastes like breakfast in a glass. It has, like, bacon on it, which automatically is an in for me. It's like bacon, orange juice. They got, like, pancake flavors in there. I don't know what sorcery it is, but you need to.
Yeah, that's definitely some sort of black magic.
Yeah, if you fancy an adult beverage here and there, I definitely recommend getting one of those. But it's right across the street from Stage AE. It's a perfect spot to stop in, even before or after the show. It's good stuff.
Wacky menu items like that. This is quite a while ago. My last band, Axios, we did a show. I believe it was in Rochester, PA, which is a little ways northwest of Pittsburgh. The venue was called the Blue Violet Cafe, and it was kind of like a craze going on at that point. People were doing cheeseburgers on a bun that was made out of a Krispy Kreme donut cut in half.
Oh, yes, I heard about these.
Dude.
My
one band member had got one. And he's like, here, you got to try it. And I was glad that somebody else bought it and let me have a bite. Because honestly, I don't know if I could have ever eaten that whole thing. It was like so much. It was so rich. But, you know, it was definitely cool to try it. And just, you know, just to be able to say you did. It was different. It was interesting.
That would be something I wouldn't really try, honestly.
it doesn't sound...
Well, it sounds strange.
You took two of my favorite food groups and put them together in one food item. I'm going to try it. Whether it's horrible or not, I have to give that a whirl.
But then you can say you've tried it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very true. That's very true.
Don't knock it till you try it.
You don't have to order it again, but you can order it again.
Right, and you probably will.
I have my friend Dakota, who we will exchange recipes that we find online. And one thing that I would love to see come to this area, just even as a passing thing, would be 24-karat gold buffalo wings.
Yeah, is this a place in New York?
Yes.
Yes! Rachel and I talked about that, and we definitely need to do that. And it's definitely also not, like, I think they said it was like $1,000 or something like that.
That's like the big thing with champagne.
Yeah. And everything. Yep, exactly. Yeah, so you can get those wings for much cheaper than that, and I fully plan on doing that. They're probably horrible. They probably taste
I love wings, and I'm down to devour some wings anytime. But if I really want to put some gold into my body that bad, I'm just going to drink some Goldschlager and then enjoy some regular wings for a lot less money.
I do have to wonder just exactly how much metal you're allowed to put in your body whenever you're eating something like that. I mean, it's definitely a questionable thing, but that would be one of those things, like you guys were saying about the Krispy Kreme donut cheeseburger. I might just have to try it once.
It's definitely It's definitely most one of the most metal things you can do, though, because you're literally putting metal into your body. So, you know, if you're into the metals, I feel like you kind of got to do it.
Right.
Now, since we're talking about wings, there's one place that is very near and dear to my heart, which is actually Wing Hearts on Southside. Now, Jason, you're probably going to have to say that one with the, how did you put it, Pittsburghese?
Don Aaron is Southside.
There you go.
I apologize, too, to everybody on this podcast because my Pittsburghese accent is horrible. I know it. I own it. I can't get rid of it. It doesn't matter how hard I try, especially when I start going, yeah, sorry.
It's funny because before I moved to Pittsburgh, I'm from about 2 hours north of Pittsburgh, and I guess that's close enough. My dad drove truck for a long, long time, and he was somewhere, you know, a couple of states away. This was years ago, and a guy where he was delivering, it was unloading his truck, was like, so you're from Pittsburgh, huh? My dad was like, no, I mean, kind of close. I mean, I live about 2 hours north of Pittsburgh. He's like, oh, well, I can tell.
I grew up in Ohio, but it was the portion of Ohio that's about an hour from Pittsburgh.
Right. Close enough.
Right. So we have this very strange dialect that incorporates a lot of the Pittsburgh-type speech, and also we get it from, like, all the way almost up to Columbus, I guess, that they have their own little way of saying things, too, and I never knew that. And
I didn't know that either.
I did not.
Let's see. You learn the more you know.
I guess that they've got, like, not so much the type of speech that you'll hear a lot in Pittsburgh, but they have, like, certain phrases and such. And I have been told, oh, well, where are you from? Because you kind of sound like you're either here or there. But one thing that I have learned is chipped ham is not a thing outside of, like, this surrounding area. I guess everywhere else it's chopped ham, and I never knew that.
Hmm.
That was an interesting little thing to learn.
Little tidbit.
You cannot ask for chipped ham everywhere. But Wing Hearts has just delectable food. I go there as often as I can.
I've never been to Wing Hearts.
Their burgers are pretty good. I'll give them that. Yeah, definitely. They're worth a shot.
I think that they have great wings, but of all things, I would recommend their macaroni and cheese.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
I like me a good mac and cheese, so I have not tried that yet. I'm gonna have to.
So, the new Mission Barbecue that just opened up out here in Robinson, they have excellent macaroni and cheese as a side. It's so good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's so good.
Loves me a good barbecue, too, so.
You haven't been there yet. You got to check it out. It's really good. So, but, like, on the wing topic, this was a while ago. Beth and I were like, oh, man, we got to get some wings, but we just try somewhere different. Like, where can we go for, like, really, really good wings? And we just did a search. Actually, I think she found it on her phone. She's like, best wings in Pittsburgh. And this came up, this place, it's really close to me out here in Imperial. The bar is actually a McDonald's. But it's called Harrington's. Apparently, they won Best Wings in Pittsburgh, like, I don't know, a couple years in a row or a couple different years or whatever. And it was only, like, 10 minutes from our house, so we went and checked it out. And that place has fantastic wings. You know, the size and the quality of the wing, you know, it's like, cooked perfectly crispy. And their sauce and, you know, flavor options is crazy.
It's really all about that sauce.
Yeah, well, and they'll mix anything up. Like, if you have an idea of a flavor that you want to do out of what they have, they'll mix it up and make whatever you want. It's really cool.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Isn't there a place that has, like, over 100 flavors of wings? Like, I want to say it's, like, Bob's or something like that.
Big Shot Bob's.
There we go.
I've heard nothing. I've not been there yet. But Rachel and I have talked about this like 100 times, and we have to hit this up because I hear nothing but good things about it. A good friend of ours is has had stuff from there, and they tell us nothing but good things about that place. Like, I'm trying to remember where it was at. It's like somewhere up the Allegheny River. I'm not familiar with that area, but
I don't even think I've heard of that.
Like Aspinwall or somewhere around there, somewhere in that area. But yeah, supposedly Big Shot Bob's is like the place for wings.
Yeah, I haven't gone there, but I've only heard good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that we all need to take a little road trip.
Yeah, it sounds like this show has to go on the road for sure.
It does.
Ooh, I'm down.
Episode 2, we just search out wing places in Pittsburgh.
This sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll just have a page for it.
So all you people listening at home, if you're listening, you got to let us know that you want more of these, because it literally gives us an excuse to go get food around Pittsburgh, and we're okay with that.
Oh, man, I can't think of the name of it. One of the times we were at Funhouse, the reason we didn't eat there, or I didn't at least, and my buddy Mangel, if you've been around Never Wake shows and hung around, chances are you know who Mangel is if you've seen him around. There's a bar really close to the Funhouse that he took us to for wings. That he used to live like right by this bar. And he's like, you got to go check these wings out. They're some of the best. And we went down there. They were really, really good. And I can't think of the, you know, for the life of me what that place is called. But it's really close to the Funhouse. Mangel, when you hear this, comment. Let us know what that place is called. I forget.
Oh, that would be, yeah. Please.
People demand answers.
I would say anyone listening in should go ahead and comment on their favorite places and their favorite foods at these places.
Yeah, tell us, because we're only giving you what we know. We want to hear what you know, because that gives us more info to do this again.
Oh,
more info for us to know.
Oh, yes. This may have to be a monthly thing.
Yeah, I like it.
I think it should be.
Is this before or after sushi night?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so something's been bothering me. I gotta know. I might sound really stupid here. You always use this hashtag, and I'm always lost. I'm like, what is that?
I know where you're going.
What is it then, if you know?
Is it pizza taco mas?
What the hell is that?
So, because I'm an idiot and I don't know how to pronounce things. It started as a joke between me and my buddy Mike, who was the singer for my old band, The Unhuron, which ironically was the first time that I met Mr. Justin Sanford here, because we played a show with him when he was in the band Axios at Smiling Moose.
Dude. That was a good fit. That was a fun time. That was my dad was at that show. He came to check it out, and we were agreeing how the singer from your band looked like an early like Black Sabbath era young Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh yeah, I will pass that along to him. But so he's very much into, you know, like Asian culture and stuff, and that was he saw. I'm trying to remember how it originally started, but somehow it developed out of there's a Japanese word, I think it is, that basically it means something along the lines of like bon appetit, and it's pronounced similarly to that. And between the two of us and me just being a goofball, it slowly evolved into pizza taco mas. And then it became a hashtag, and there was a bunch of friends of ours. We were doing – I did bass for a play that he wrote the music score for. And in amongst our group, it like became a thing, and then it just kind of like – it just kind of evolved from there.
Right on. Gotcha.
So, but before every sushi meal, that is what – you know, that's what you say now.
So we are actually – already coming to the end of our podcast tonight, and there is something that we haven't touched on. What would you guys say is your favorite food, just in general, just the best dish you've ever had?
Oh my god, that's really tough. The best dish I've ever had. Man, that is so tough.
I'm going to go with yes.
What's that?
My answer is yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. No, I don't. I can say probably the best seafood dish I ever had, because I love seafood, but my wife's not big into it, so I don't ever really have it much at home. We did our little honeymoon thing in Virginia Beach, and we ate at this restaurant right on the beach, right on the boardwalk, and I totally forget what it's called, unfortunately, or I would tell you all because you should go there. But probably the best seafood dish I ever had was at this place right on the beach in Virginia Beach. I had gonna take a breath for this one. It was a blackened, grilled, center-cut yellowfin tuna steak, and incredible. It was like a religious experience. It was like finding Jesus. It was unreal. It said right on their menu for like all the seafood stuff, the seafood that you're eating for dinner tonight was still swimming this morning.
Oh, wow.
It was so fresh. It was so good.
You would have loved Barcelona then. I went there once for a work trip, and they literally, I was walking along. It's called Port Olimpico. It's like a village worth of basically just seaside restaurants along the Mediterranean that they built for the Olympic Games, I guess. And I was walking along looking for places to eat, and I stopped in this one place with some people that I had randomly met there from Britain, and they were super cool. We sat down to have dinner, and the little waiter guy comes up, and he's like showing me this plate. And there's just a plate of prawns that are still moving. And I was like, nope, that's too fresh for me. If there is a level of fresh that I'm not okay with.
You're a big sushi guy.
No, that's too much. That's past the point of sushi right there. And I'm not okay with that.
Well, the sushi night is because I actually grew up from an area where Jason recently was at, and they all went out, he and everyone he was with went out for sushi. I was dying for sushi, and I said it wasn't fair. And they had so much fun that we're trying to come up with a monthly sushi night.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was right before our show at there's a place up there called Great Arrow that we played, and we played with some of the homies from Winter's Descent and Skell, who was actually just amazing. I feel like I saw them a long time ago at Altar Bar.
You did. We played that show.
Yep, I knew it. I knew I saw them with somebody else that I knew.
Yep.
And I got to see them again for the first time after a while, and they are just phenomenal.
Yeah, they're great.
Every instrumentalist in that band, I was super impressed with their bassist. If you're listening to this and you're a Ryan Martini fan, Mr. Bassist guy, it showed, and I approve.
Yeah.
But so we hit up some sushi before we played that show, and at a place called Sakura, I think it was. And up in Manaka, and it was very good. We had a good time there.
Yeah, Skell is really amazing. I mean, hands down, they really are.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, on your whole seafood portion, you guys are going to get a laugh out of this, because I honestly have not been a foodie my entire life. I grew up in a house where, you know, it was like the old home cooking, and I thought that I was really neat whenever I found out, you know, that there's like more out there than what I grew up with than pizza.
There is more seafood than fish sticks.
Yes, yes. I thought that I was really cool because I've had the base versions of cool food. You guys know what I mean? Whenever you order something somewhere and it's like an upgrade from what you're used to, and yet then you find out that like there's an upgrade from that. So I found calamari and I loved it. And then I got married to a chef. And we went on vacation and we were near the ocean, and he took me to this really awesome little seaside restaurant, like you guys were saying, and oh, well, they had calamari on the list, and so I ordered it, and they brought me baby squids. Like, just, you know, baby
squids.
Like
the squids. Whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's yeah. whenever and I learned my Olive Garden calamari was not.
First of all, I'm not a calamari person at all. So there's no level of classing it up that you're going to get me in on that. But to make it worse, when you bring it to me, and this is just a general food rule that I follow, with certain exceptions, like maybe turkeys and chickens and things like that, if it looks like it did before it died, generally I'm out. Yeah, I'm not about that life at all. Anybody out there follows me on Facebook or generally like on Instagram or anything like that, you'll know that I'm a huge Gordon Ramsay fan. So I watch Hell's Kitchen, all the MasterChef, all that fun stuff. And my obsession for the longest time was Ramsay's beef Wellington.
I knew that was going to come into play in this interview.
It had to. And I finally got a chance a couple years ago to try it for the first time at one of his restaurants out in Atlantic City. And I was just like, you watch these people try to make it and fail horridly. And it just makes you wonder, like, how difficult is it to do this? So, and then I tried it and I was like, this is amazing. It has things in it that has like mushrooms in it. And I was like, I don't even like mushrooms. Whoa. And I can't even tell these are mushrooms. I want more of it. So I learned to make it and I made it. And I'm going to be honest, it was everything and more that I got from his restaurant. And it is now, I would definitely say that is for sure my favorite meal.
Nice. Now, see, I ask you guys the question, and I don't even know what my answer would be. It may possibly be a filet mignon.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong with that.
I am a steak fan. I really am. I could never be a vegetarian.
No way, me neither.
It's not happening.
I'm all about PETA, and it's people eating tasty animals.
He's not wrong, you know.
Actually, I do know what my favorite food is. It's not actually a dish. It's a side. And it's something that my husband taught me to make, which is the bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers.
Mmm. Yeah.
You can't go wrong there.
No, you can't.
No.
So,
a whole lot of win.
The bacon needs to be nice and closer to the crispy side on the ends for me. And right. I'm not a cheese fan with jalapeno poppers. I'm all about the sour cream.
Well, it's official. We can't be friends anymore.
Oh, no, really? I'll miss you, Justin.
I'm sorry, Jonna, but I'm on Team Justin here. I mean, it's got to be cheese all day.
Really?
All day, yeah. Cheddar, just fill it, stuff it, fry it. But in your defense, I will give you, bacon's got to be on the crispy side.
Well, listen, when I was 16, 17, I worked at a restaurant up in my hometown called The Roadhouse. And my buddy Manjo, I mentioned earlier, we both worked there. And we didn't have jalapeno poppers on the menu, but we had everything to make them. We had whole jalapenos that would go on top of a bowl of chili. We had cheese for the salads, you know, shredded cheese that was shredded there in-house. And we had bacon bits for you know, fresh, you know, real bacon bits that we would bake the bacon and then, you know, chop it up into pieces for the salads. So when we would be in there in the mornings for, like, doing prep stuff, we would always, you know, cut the end off a jalapeno, stuff some cheese and bacon inside of it, dip it in the beer batter, throw it in the fryer, and they were we tried, actually, Mangel's, his aunt was a GM there, and we would always try to get her to add it to the menu, and she's like, no, can't do it, but so good.
I feel like if the music thing never works out, we literally have an entire restaurant worth of staff.
Oh, yeah.
In our music community.
Oh, yeah. I have people all the time to tell me, like, so when are you going to try to open your own restaurant? So I'm like, yeah, right. Okay.
That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Hey, food is almost as unifying as music.
Well, it really is.
It is, yeah.
So speaking of food and music, what can people expect, Justin, if they go on to the Never Wake page for the recipe that you're planning on putting out there?
I had a really rough time trying to pick this out and decide, like, oh, man, what's one of my favorite things to make that comes out really well and I want to share with people? And I had a really rough time, and I actually got I actually had to have Beth, like, sit down with me and, like, go through all the, like, you know, I made this, and I made this, and I make this. So, like, what do I share? And between Beth and I, we decided on a dish. I kind of got a little inspiration from it off the internet, but then I made it my own and, you know, came up with it. You know, Beth is, she's half Polish, and there's a lot of Polish heritage in the Pittsburgh area, so I decided to kind of come up with a Polish kind of inspired dish a while back, and that's what I'm going to share with you guys. So when you get done with this interview or this podcast and you want to check out the recipes that Jason and I are sharing, you want to go to the Never Wake page on Facebook and, you know, respectively, the Silence Follows page to get these recipes. But I gotta make this now soon because I'm thinking about it, talking about it. But I didn't like name it or come up with some cool, you know, like Beef Wellington, you know, it doesn't have a fancy name. But I saved the recipe under my phone is cabbage/Klusky stew. So that's kind of explanatory. It's got cabbage in it, it's got Klusky noodles, potato, it's just good stuff. It's like a real hearty, like a soup stew mix. It's awesome. If you're into Polish type of stuff, or if you're maybe even not familiar with it, I'm gonna give it a try. I promise that you will not be disappointed. For meat or protein in there, I used sausage. And it's just really, really good. So I will make sure that you have the whole recipe available for you. Coming from the Never Wake page, so you can go over there and check it out and see what else is going on over there with Never Wake. If you haven't liked our page yet, throw a like on there and stay up to date with what we got going on. We're going to have a new EP and a new video coming out soon, so you'll want to check that out.
Definitely. And Jason, have you decided on a recipe that you're going to share with the fans?
No. Because there's so many things I want to tell people about, share with them. But I couldn't decide on one, so I'm just going to give you one of them.
Okay.
Because I wasn't sure if people would like something that was maybe more complex or more easy to do, or spicy or not spicy. So I'm going to decide for you. And I'll throw up a recipe for something that I've made a few times now, and I've kind of worked on developing here in different forms. I think I got a good one now, and it's a known fact. I have absolutely zero idea how to make a sushi roll or how, like, even to work with raw fish. So I'm not even going to go down that route. But I also love hibachi. And,
me too.
Yeah.
And something like it was kind of a hodgepodge of all of the things that I love. About hibachi and little bit of, I guess, like Thai influence. I had at one place in Pittsburgh, I had some spicy Thai peanut chicken. And,
oh god, that's so good.
Oh yeah, I think it was Nikki's down in the Strip.
Yes,
or not in the
Nikki's,
Strip. On
Penn Avenue.
I don't think it was pad Thai. I think it was some spicy peanut sauce. Ugh. And I've had different iterations of it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try my hand at this. So I did. And I came up with one. It's pretty simple to make the sauce. It has, I do sauce. I'll do that. I do, a little bit of, the hibachi style fried rice. And, you could do it with rice. You could do it with noodles, with a little bit of egg and, carrots, peas, onions, some ginger, garlic, all the you know, all the good stuff, teriyaki, it's all in there. And then I'll usually mix it with some stir-fried broccoli or some sort of vegetable. Usually broccoli for what we do, but it's super good. It like you can make enough. I cook it in a wok on a stove. It's amazing. That's all I can say about it. So I'll put together a recipe for that, and then you know, you guys can have fun with it and make it your own. Check it out. It'll be on, I think, I'm trying to think when this airs.
this will go out on Thursday.
Okay, Thursday. So I'll have this up. I'll have this up for then on the Silence Follows page on Facebook. And then again, as Justin said, if you're over there and you check it out, give us a like. You know, follow us on there. We got a show coming up here that you can come out and hang out with us at the Funhouse on the 18th, and get a hold of us if you'd like to get tickets for that. And then after that, we're kind of right now we're looking at some shows later in the year, and we're also in process of working on our next EP. Because it's getting about that time, and we're getting a little itchy, so we're looking at it.
Well, anyone who has been following along with our crazy food adventures tonight, if you liked this show and you want to hear more, I don't know, it kind of sounds like these guys are willing to come back on with me and maybe develop something out of this.
I'm totally down for that.
100%.
Two of my favorite things, music and food. You put those together, and good people talking about those two things together, I am in every time.
Great.
Every day, all day, I'm in.
Don't just go with our suggestions. Go ahead and give us yours. Comment on the pages or on the website link or wherever you find us. We'll be able to find you, and we will follow your suggestions on the best things to eat and the places to go. This has been a very fun time. For those of you that didn't catch the very beginning, this is Audio Gossip with Lady J, and I am here with members of Never Wake and Silence Follows. We've got Jason Kazura and Justin Sanford, and this has been very fun, actually. I've really enjoyed talking food, but I think I'm going to have to go and grab some now. You guys have made me hungry, officially.
Then we've done our job.
Absolutely. It's funny, we finished eating dinner minutes before we started this interview, and man, talking about food for an hour and a half, I'm hungry again. I shouldn't be, but I'm hungry again.
That's also another funny thing. Just so everybody out there knows, when we started this this little podcast here tonight, at least two of the three of us were late because we were making food. So yeah. Don't ever question our dedication to this.
Absolutely. I sliced my finger open working on my dinner tonight right before this interview about food.
Is 100% true. I saw the pictures. It was pretty gnarly. So heal up, buddy.
So it is time for us to say goodnight. Would you guys like to say goodnight on three?
Absolutely.
One, two, three.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
This has been another episode of Audio Gossip with Lady J. Thank you all for tuning in. Bye.